Hello, saints. It's good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Father God, I thank you for this wonderful day that you've made. I thank you, Lord, that you've placed in our hearts and teaches us not to murmur against the things that are happening around us, but just to be bold in our faith. Be humble in our walk and bold in our faith, Lord, in Christ. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing upon us to get an encouraging word out to the people. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, that's what I want to talk about is being bold in Christ, in God. And if you want to be bold and walk tall in God, it's going to require complete obedience and humbleness. If you want to walk tall in God and be like Caleb of the Israelites, he could say with confidence, Caleb could, he said, I entirely followed the Lord my God when no one but Joshua was with me. The others refused to take the land God promised us, but I followed God. Joshua 14:9, it says, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy foot hath trodden shall be an inheritance to thee and to thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And look what happened at the result of Caleb's obedience. Everywhere his foot trod was given to him, not just for his own inheritance, but to go to his children's children in perpetuity. Deuteronomy 1:36 says, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he has trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. What are your children going to receive in this life? Well, if you wholly follow the Lord your God, then your seed can possess everything that God has for you and them. God promised to bless our children, but we got to do our part by keeping them in the Word and Christian fellowship, where they can hear His Word and learn to fellowship with the saints. Now, I want you to notice something else about Caleb. He knew God had kept him alive for a purpose, and he was determined to fulfill his destiny in God, although he was 85 years old before he could begin to possess his promised inheritance. Joshua 14:10 says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he spake these 45 years from the time that Jehovah or the Lord spake this word unto Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He was 85 years old. And you look at Caleb's boldness, even at that old age of 85, when the Israelites finally were ready to go into the promised land, Caleb reminded them that God had kept him alive since the first time he spied out the land. He was bold to excess, but that's a whole lot better than being cowardly and not having the courage to go into the land at all. And also, being bold sometimes means having to wait on other people to get ready to move. Now, it would have been nice if God had just simply built Caleb and Joshua a little camp on the edge of the promised land and let them stay there until the next generation Israelites got ready to move. But then, who would have been an example for them? Who would have led them when Moses and Aaron passed on? The Israelites were able to see a contrast in Joshua and Caleb between boldness and its reward and the devastation brought by the devil because of fear running in God's people. Sometimes we have to be a witness to witness that destruction that doubt, unbelief, fear, and sin brings before we develop the boldness to be obedient. But you know, God's faithful. He kept Caleb alive in order for him to enter the land as he had promised. God's always faithful to his promises. And the Lord's going to keep you alive and provide special blessings as long as you walk in faith, obedience, and boldness. and the bold received from God, you know. Caleb said, God has kept me alive these 45 years. That means he spent the first 40 years of his life in Egypt, 40 years wandering the desert, and another 5 years serving Joshua and helping the Israelites gain the promised land. He trailed Joshua around, chasing the enemy out of the land so his people could possess it. You know, Caleb must have been a remarkable man of faith at 85 years old. You know, he had bones just like we got bones. He had hair just like we got hair. He had teeth just as we got teeth. Yet the Bible says his strength was as that of a man of 40. Woo, Lord of God. He was as strong as the day Moses first sent him to spy out the land with the land of Canaan with Joshua and 10 other Israelites. He was as human as you or me, yet he was determined to stay alive in order to possess the inheritance promised him by God. It don't make any difference what your age is today. You need to be as determined to possess what God has for you as Caleb was to obtain his inheritance. It's going to take boldness to receive everything God has for you, especially if you are older. However, God is no respecter of persons. If he gave Caleb his promised land at 85 years of age, then he's going to give you your promised land. It don't make any difference how old you are. God is God, and he can give you supernatural wisdom and strength enough to possess everything he's got for you. Yes, it's going to take supernatural wisdom and supernatural strength. But if Caleb can get those from God, you can too. If you want supernatural strength and wisdom, you got to stop watching that dead programs on television and YouTube. And even knowing how to build muscle in the natural ain't going to help you in the spiritual realm, I'm telling you. Best thing to do is to get your nose in the book of books and begin reading about a man named Caleb who was bold and walked tall even at what is generally considered a ripe old age. Obedience and holy following the Lord will give you supernatural strength and bring blessings raining down on you. Now, I could just hear Caleb saying, I have as much strength and vitality now as I had when I was 40. In fact, my strength is still so great that I could go out to war, fight, and come back shouting with the victory. Glory to God. Yeah, he could. And he wasn't talking about running around in tanks and jeeps and firing machine guns. He was talking about hand-to-hand combat with swords and spears. That's pretty tough. So we also look at the handicaps he had to overcome in the beginning. He had many disadvantages because he had been a slave to Egyptian bondage for 40 years, working at hard labor, making bricks out of straw. He was of a persecuted minority, one which the people of the nation where he lived were prejudiced against. He also was of a persecuted minority of two, Joshua and himself, when the other 10 spies wanted to run from the Canaanites. The people were ready to stone Caleb and Joshua as well as Moses. And Caleb wanted to go forward while millions of his companions wanted to go backwards. So he had to suffer for their sakes and mark time in the wilderness until he was an old man and all of his adversaries had died. Maybe you have had disadvantages in your life. Maybe you have had some hard times in different areas of your life. Maybe you have had to mark time and wait because of other people's mistakes or disobedience. However, if you'll be bold and walk tall in God, you can overcome every disadvantage. You can be just like Caleb, the man who was bold enough to ask for a mountain. Joshua 14:12. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. That's King James Version. And it's a pretty good one. Caleb also had courage and determination. He didn't ask for something that was easy, did he? He had the boldness to ask for something big in God. Caleb asked for a mountain, glory to God. He didn't say, please, I know I'm getting old, so just give me this little old plain down by the riverside that won't take a lot of work, and I won't have to climb up here. After all, I've done paid my dues, done my part to help others. We have already taken this little piece of land from the Canaanites, that little piece that he was talking about. But that's probably what an ordinary person would have asked for, but not Caleb. He said, I'm going to ask for something big. He said, no, give me something with a little challenge to you. Give me this mountain. I want this mountain over here. Can you imagine an 85-year-old man asking to be allowed to take in battle and possess the entire mountain? And it wasn't just any mountain. That mountain was full of giants. It was fenced and had great cities on it. Joshua 14, 12, and 13. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof Jehovah spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and cities great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, as the Lord spake. And Joshua blessed him. And he gave Hebron unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Well, the Anakims were giants. Some reportedly as much as 10 feet tall. But Joshua granted his request. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And it is a beautiful area, they say. Caleb received his inheritance, the land of Hebron, because he determined to walk tall and boldly follow the Lord God of hosts. So many people have obtained their desires from the Lord because of this one thing, wholly following the Lord. Caleb followed God in complete obedience. And that's why he received so much from the Lord. He drove out the giants because he was empowered with supernatural strength from walking so close to God. Joshua 15 and 14. And Caleb drove out thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. What did Caleb think and say was the secret of his success? Well, he never took the glory and gave credit to himself. He said in Joshua 14 and 12, it may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord spake. Caleb knew that if God was on his side, if God said he could do it, he knew no one could stand against him and succeed. Because of knowing that, Caleb at 85 had the supernatural strength, energy, and boldness to ask for a mountain and not an easy plain or an easy valley. Can't you just hear him saying to Joshua? Caleb talking to Joshua, he said, I'm going to climb that mountain, and up on top of that mountain, I'm going to fight men twice my size. I'm going to whoop every one of them. And I know I can drive out that bunch because God's with me, and I'm bold in God, glory to God. Caleb probably took one look at the giants, and like David said, I'm coming after you, boys. This is the end of your messing around with the children of Israel. Glory to God. I'm fixing to run you out of here. And he won as tremendous a victory as David did years later over Goliath. Caleb drove the giants down to the Mediterranean Sea. That's where they were living, among the Philistines, when David came on the scene, 1 Samuel 17. Caleb took their houses away from the giants. You know, those houses, I bet you they had some pretty big doors to let in 10-foot people. Caleb stripped from them everything they had, and Hebron became a holy place. That was where the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were buried with their wives. And I want you to notice that the children of Anak, they weren't buried in Hebron in the same area as the patriarch. They wasn't allowed to join that godly crowd even in death. They didn't receive that great honor. They didn't deserve it. But Joshua was granted great honor in God. There's even an entire book of the Bible named after Joshua. Caleb also was granted great honor by God. However, there was no honor for the sons of Anak because those giants came against God's people. Caleb deserved honor because he was a generation builder. He established Hebron as his inheritance, and it remains a place that a bunch of people visit even today. It is a mountain, and it is surrounded by other mountains. A man old, by our terms, possessed that mountain because he was bold. He walked tall in God, and he cast a long shadow. His influence was far-reaching. A little mistreated boy, born and reared in poverty, hatred, and slavery, became a mighty man of God. No doubt, however, Caleb's greatest celebration of victory was not when he won Hebron, but when he went to heaven. Glory to God. Young Christians should learn a lesson from men such as Caleb. What your parents are or have been doesn't need to determine what you're going to be in God. Where you live today does not have to determine where you're going to live. What you do today does not have to be what you're going to accomplish for God someday. What your parents' life was like does not have to be the pattern for your life. You can be what God says you can be. You don't have to be afraid. If your parents are now poor, that don't mean you always have to be poor. God will help you personally if you just ask him. Now, there are some fascinating scriptures that show boldness being produced, such as Acts 4 and 31, where the followers of Jesus were gathered together praying on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible says that they prayed and the place was shaken. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Another example of godly boldness is found in Acts 5 and 15, where Luke reported that multitudes of men and women were added to the Lord. People carried the sick out into the streets on beds and couches to lay them where the shadow of the Apostle Peter passing by might fall on them and they'd be healed. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, even that shadow that you cast can be full of power. This was the same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times in a matter of hours when Jesus was in the hardest trial of his life, a literal trial for his life. This was the same Peter who had backslid and gone back to fishing for a living instead of going into the ministry after the crucifixion. From the time Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, he became bold. He walked tall in God, and he cast a healing shadow for the world, glory to God. God is talking to some Christians today to be bold for him. He wants us to walk tall in him. You know, some Christians hear the word, it just goes in one ear and right back out the other. Some Christians believe the word, but the world changers are those who live the word. So let's start, get to living the word, doing the word, as James tells us. What you going to do about being bold in God? There's a price to pay for greatness, boldness, and walking tall in God and casting a long shadow. You know, how many of you want God to change hearts and change lives so that God's people as a whole can walk boldly in him and change this world? Those who walk close to God are changed. Being bold, walking tall, and casting a long shadow ain't got nothing to do with what we call arrogance or pride. For example, when Moses was bold and walked tall in God, the Lord said he was the humblest man on the face of the earth. Numbers 12 and 3. Says, now the man of Moses was very meek above all the men that were upon the face of the earth. So if you associate boldness with arrogance, you're missing the point. I ain't talking about human arrogance or human boasting. I'm talking about being so submerged in God that he can change your life. God wants to change the world using people like you. However, you will have to move deeper into God for him to be able to do that. Ask him for holy boldness. Yeah, there's such a thing as holy boldness unto the Lord, so that you have something others don't have. You must have the wisdom of God in you in order for you to be a life changer and a life builder, just like Caleb. The entire church of Jesus Christ needs to become bold in God. They need to walk tall, learn how to cast a long shadow of godly influence on this earth for Jesus. Do you have a heart like Caleb? Come up out of Egypt's sin, and that's the world's degradation and bondage, and begin to walk with the greatest man of all time, and his name is Jesus. He'll give you boldness. He'll give you the ability to walk tall and bold in him so that you can change the world for his glory. Praise God forevermore. If you walk with Jesus wherever he leads you, he will take you into your promised land and then on up to heaven. God wants you. He will give you supernatural strength, just like he did Caleb. And he'll make you into one of those who walk bold in the earth to accomplish his purposes. Praise God forevermore. God don't want us to be put down as we live for him on this earth. God does not want us to be pushed around as the servants of men. We are to be the mighty servants of the Lord God Almighty. We're to walk tall in the earth. We are to speak the word of God because we are his champions. Some Christians believe in the Holy Spirit, and yet they don't have him functioning every day in their lives. And they need to move in the Spirit, think in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and talk in the Spirit. And some Christians will think that if I get into the operations of the Holy Spirit, there are going to be problems and disadvantages to me. You know, even some of them other Christians out there might shun me or make fun of me. I'm telling you, don't let the devil tell you lies like that. What other people say and do is their business. What Christians say and do is God's business. We should make up our minds to walk with God and to talk with God and to live for God and be one of his bold ones. Part-time followers of God will never make it. You must be wholly attached and committed to God. Greatness does not go along with double-mindedness. Greatness goes with a single mind, a mind sold on Jesus. Be a Caleb, bold and walking tall in God. Walk tall among men. We don't need just one Caleb in this earth today. We need a multitude of Calebs. We need a multitude of men and women who will say, I'm bold and I'm walking tall in God. Therefore, I will never be defeated. The devil don't have any power over me, and I'm not going to believe the devil's dirty little lies that he tries to speak to me through my mind. Because I'm walking bold in the word, and I know what it said. We ought to also learn the lessons of the Old Testament in order to profit from the mistakes of those who are examples for us. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says this, now these things happened unto them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. The entire Old Testament was not forgotten. When the New Testament was written, it was preserved in order to teach us how to live in the time we're in right now. It was preserved for those upon whom the ends of the ages are come. If we don't give much attention to what God has done in the past, he ain't going to be able to do very much for us in the present or in the future. And we need to look at some of these biblical men of faith to see why they made such an impact upon their world. They walked tall in God in their generations and they cast a long shadow because their lives influenced other people. And it is possible for an ordinary person to become strong in God and walk tall and bold in this generation. Take the Apostle Paul. The Roman Emperor Nero thought that after he killed Paul, this little Jewish preacher would be forgotten by the world the next day. However, 2,000 years later, we name our sons Paul and our dogs Nero. And it's amazing how the world changes. That once great and powerful Nero is now forgotten. But a lovely servant of God named Paul has been remembered throughout the centuries. In fact, the Apostle Paul is casting a long shadow, and even today, he was bold. Although he is said not to have been very large in physical stature, he would walk tall in God. He addressed kings and governors and mighty men with great courage and conviction. Paul was a remarkable person, an Old Testament man of faith who walked tall in God and cast a long shadow in his own generation was Moses, Caleb's mentor or role model. Caleb had Moses as an example all the way from Egypt to the Promised Land and for the 40-year wilderness trip. No wonder Caleb knew how to be bold and walk tall. On the other hand, all of the other adult male Israelites had the same example, and they didn't become bold. What made the difference? Well, let's look at the life of Moses and see the things that made him a man of boldness. God can turn anyone from a mediocrity to greatness. He can change a shepherd into a mighty leader. He can turn you from a janitor to someone great and mighty in him, if he can get you to turn aside to see what he's doing. Moses had a divine encounter with God. That's when he became bold and began to walk very tall in God. The great Pharaoh of Egypt shrank to the size of a peanut in this man's presence. In this generation, this shepherd named Moses cast a long shadow across the entire nation of Egypt, as well as his own nation of Israel. Moses was already 80 years old when God cornered him in the Sinai Peninsula of the Arabian Desert at the base of Mount Horeb. Meeting God was the beginning of Moses' greatness. And when Caleb met God through Moses, he began to become great. And Moses' first meeting with God was out in the desert. And while looking after his father-in-law's sheep, Moses came across a sight that would startle anyone. And that was a bush that was on fire that wouldn't burn up. Possibly, the light that radiated out from this burning bush was the same kind of light that guided the wise men from Persia, now Iran, to the Christ child in Bethlehem. It was the Shekinah glory of God. The fire that shone from that bush must have been brilliant because it attracted Moses' attention to God. When he turned aside to look at it, he had an encounter with God. Moses took time to turn aside and notice, and he saw what God was doing in the earth. When God saw that Moses had turned aside, he called him by name. And Moses answered. He said, "Here am I, Lord." At that time in his life, Moses must have given up any expectation of becoming great, because his days in the palace of Pharaoh as the adopted favored son of Pharaoh's daughter were long gone. He never expected to be remembered for millenniums of time. He never expected to be remembered down through the ages by millions of people. Perhaps he thought his only destiny was a final trip to the grave, a trip to be buried deep in the sands of the wilderness. But suddenly, of time, he turned aside and had an encounter with the living God, and everything changed. From that one confrontation, we find a man totally changed by the power of God. Moses became bold. He talked bold, he walked bold, and he stood tall and the knowledge of God. And he wasn't afraid of anybody any longer. That's how he came to cast a long shadow over two nations, Egypt and Israel, in his own lifetime and many nations since then. God performs wonders for many people who do not even bother to turn aside to notice what's going on. They don't pay any attention to what God's doing in the earth. And many people are so busy with this world's affair that when they hit eternity and go to hell, they won't even know what happened until it's too late. They ain't paying attention to God. Millions have descended into hell from all of the nations and times of the earth because they didn't take time to turn aside and see what God was doing in the earth. So they never became acquainted with him. Turn aside unto God. Don't be afraid of death. You can get acquainted with the one who has the power over death. One encounter with God can change your life forever. And he wants you to turn aside and fellowship with him. He wants you to see his glory. And when you spend time with your heavenly Father, you're going to walk tall and you're going to walk mighty in him. That's what happened to Moses. He met God and it changed his destiny. Moses said, God, I'm going to accept your challenge. I'll take you on your commission. And at first, Moses was like most of us. He was afraid to do what God called him to do. He was afraid that he wasn't capable enough, smart enough, talented enough, could not speak well enough. And most of us have felt or feel the same way. But we need to remember that it's God who does the equipping and the empowering. Finally, Moses agreed and returned to Egypt to fulfill God's commission and deliver his own people from bondage. However, he did not return the way he had left, fleeing from justice after he killed that man. And after his encounter with God, he stood as a new man, glory to God. Something had happened to him. That one encounter changed Moses from a desert shepherd to a mighty giant in the Lord. God wants to change you in the same way. But an encounter with the living God will only occur when you take time to turn aside and see what God's doing. Inquire of him and see what he wants to do through you. See what he wants to say through you. And then the fire of God going to burn in your heart and it'll never go out. You'll be changed into a different person. When Moses arrived in Egypt, it looked as if he had failed almost before he got started. But by the time he led the Israelites out of Egypt, things had changed. Moses took on boldness and he walked tall in God. His people left Egypt heavily laden with treasure. Now, there's something about walking tall in God and casting a long shadow that'll change people and nations for God's glory. Your boldness influences others. Other people will be drawn to you, and you can help them change their destiny and walk tall in God also. And as long as Moses appeared on the horizon of time, walking boldly and casting a long shadow, the man named Caleb attached himself to Moses, and he didn't leave his side until the day Moses went to heaven. I believe Caleb looked at Moses and thought, he bold in God, he cast a long shadow. His influence is going to be felt around the world, and I want to follow him. So Caleb wrapped his destiny around Moses. You know, most of us need the influence of bold people in our lives. We get weak when we are weak with people, but we learn to be bold when we make bold people our role models. God preserved this account of Caleb in the Bible for our admonition. Therefore, we need to know what made him great. Caleb was an Israelite of the seed of Abraham. Caleb was destined before Moses came to live and die a mere slave because his slaves were slaves before his parents were slaves before him. Born with his life in danger from a Pharaoh who murdered the male Israelite babies as a form of population control. Caleb was born into the earth at a very sad and dangerous time for him. He and his forebears, descendants of Jacob, grandson of Abraham, had been in Egypt for more than 400 years. At first, they had favor with Pharaoh because Joseph, son of Jacob, was prime minister. But as the years passed and rulers gained the throne who didn't remember Joseph, the fortunes of the Israelites declined. Folks, America is only a little more than 200 years old as a nation, which gives us little perspective on how a Pharaoh could arise in 400 years who didn't know Joseph. Time obscures even the greatest of rulers. Caleb had an advantage over some of the other slave children. He had a godly mother. Godly mothers are sweet and full of character. And she must have been an interesting woman because Caleb's greatness began with her. She had the courage to name her son, born a slave and the son of slaves, a challenging name. Some mothers do great things for God. You know what she did? She named her son Bold, B-O-L-D. That's what Caleb means in Hebrew. Every time somebody spoke to him, they called him bold. Every time he was called for a meal, he was reminded that he was bold. From birth, every time people addressed him, they really were saying, Bold, what you doing? Bold, where you going? Bold, what you going to do next? And the Israelites began to know him as the Bold One. In the natural, Caleb had no advantages to go along with his name. Then what made him different from other men? Well, as a slave, he is not any different from other slaves. In fact, we don't really see any difference in Caleb until he was 40 years old. And then that certain man came into his life. God sends men to us who change and influence our lives. Moses influenced many people for God. Your life could be changed someday because of someone else's godly influence. And you could change someone else's life if you walk tall and act bold in the Lord. And for the first time in his life, Caleb saw a man of his own race who walked bold in God. When Moses came walking into sophisticated Egypt from the backside of the desert, he declared, I've heard from God. And that statement will get your attention in a hurry, won't it? He told the Israelites that God had sent him to set them free. He told the Israelites that they have to be bold and walk tall in the Lord their God. And because of Moses' influence, Caleb became bold also. And I believe Moses was never out of Caleb's sight for any length of time. At first, Moses may not have noticed him much. But it could not have been long before Caleb caught the attention of the leader of Israel. You study Caleb's life and you're going to see that he was on the right side every time a decision was made, whether it was in the desert or anywhere else. He was always on the right side, which was God's side. He never opposed Moses, so he never opposed God. In all of the transgressions of Israel during that 40-year journey, Caleb is never mentioned. He stood against every rebellion ever attempted against Moses. He stuck with Moses all the way. He was a true friend and a true follower. Caleb probably was right there when the death angel walked through Egypt. Caleb was probably right there when Moses raised his rod and told the Red Sea to back off and stand up in a heap in Exodus 15. And more than likely, he was one of the first to race across that dry riverbed over to the other side. Caleb saw Moses' work, the works of God. And I'm sure he got bigger on the inside every time he saw Moses pronounce the judgments of God and the laws of God. When Moses asked Caleb to be one of the 12 representatives of the tribes of Israel to search the land of Canaan, that may have been the greatest thing he ever asked him to do. The Bible says that each of these men was a ruler in his own tribe. Numbers 13, 2 and 3. Send thou men that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a prince among them. And Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the commandment of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. And during that walk from Egypt, apparently Caleb had gained some prestige among the people. He was a leader among his people already. Out of the 12, only two saw victory. The other 10, they saw giants, didn't they? And if you are bold and walk tall in God, you also are only going to see victory. And if you're bold, you're taller than any giant. You can cast down giants in the name of Jesus, no matter what kind of giant they are. You never have to go down in defeat. Those who are bold in God don't know defeat. They only know victory. The war is not over until it's over. And we're going to win the war. Caleb and Joshua saw the same giants as the other 10. They saw the same walled cities and the same huge gates. However, they saw something that the other spies didn't. They saw God. And when they returned, Caleb gave a great report, a report full of faith, filled with boldness and courage. Big walls and big men could not stop Caleb from walking tall in God. And I ain't talking about his physical stature. The kind of walking tall that I mean occurs in faith and on the inside. Caleb not only gave a good report, but he said, let's go up at once and take this land, Numbers 14, 6 through 8. And at once means right now. No hesitating, wavering, or doubting. He even said they're bread for us. He was going to eat giantees for breakfast, not Wheaties. Glory to God. You know that you're bold and walking tall in God when you can make your boast in Him. Boldness in God casts a long shadow of faith in God and the influence over people. What is boldness? It simply is following Jesus. It's being obedient. When you are bold in Jesus, you can just knock your enemies out of your way. You don't follow man. You don't get discouraged. Caleb tried to tell the other Israelites how to walk tall in God, but they wouldn't listen to him. They even hated him for being so bold. Now, he may have had to wait 40 years, but he won, and they lost. Their bodies were buried beneath the sand, as God had said, and he went on to possess a mountain and judge Israel. Now, I feel sorry for Caleb, having to watch his friends and relatives and all the Israelites over 20 years of age die of doubt and unbelief in the desert and be buried in the sand. And perhaps he had to assist with many of their burials. He may have seen as many as 2 million people die because of disobedience. However, he could claim that of the times Israel rebelled during the 42 times they moved from place to place during that 40 years, he was never one who grumbled, murmured. He was never bitten by a snake. He was always one of those standing by Moses and supporting him. And the result of it was that one day Caleb walked in Moses' shoes as one of the leaders of Israel. Caleb was not only the first man to go into the promised land, but he was the last man to lead the Israelites before the judges and prophets began to rule. Disobedience cost the Israelites their promised inheritance and eventually their lives. It even cost Moses, Aaron, and their sister Miriam. Moses lived until the very last day before the Israelites were permitted to enter the land of Canaan. And then God cut him off and said, you can't go in to possess the land because when I asked you to speak to the rock, you hit it with a stick instead, saying, must we, shall God and I. And that don't make any difference how bold you get or how tall you walk in God. He don't need you to take the credit for him. And a lot of people make Moses' mistake when they say God and I are going to do thus and so in the earth. No, it's God who's going to do something mighty in the earth. We're just to pronounce what he does. We are just to say, in the name of the Lord, let it be done. Presumption or tempting God is one of the five sins that will hinder you from success in the Lord. Christians ought to be aware of the five sins that brought disaster on an entire adult generation of Israel. And the Church of Jesus Christ will never be able to walk tall and cast a long shadow of influence in this world if we allow these sins in our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:5 says, "Howbeit, with most of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." And the five sins which Israel committed in the wilderness, they're listed in 1 Corinthians 10:6-10. And these sins are the sins that will destroy any civilization. However, there's no record in the Bible that Caleb or Joshua were ever involved in any of these sins. Paul wrote that all of the fathers traveled under the cloud of God and all passed through the Red Sea. He said all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And he said all ate the same spiritual meat and drank the same spiritual drink. All drank of Christ, the rock who followed them. But Paul wrote God was not pleased with many of them. And why was that? God was displeased because of these five sins that Paul went on to describe. And that number one sin committed by the Israelites was lust. They were always clamoring, "Give us meat, give us this, give us that." They never were satisfied with God. They couldn't seem to remember that he was the one who brought them out of bondage where their hands were blistered from rough work and their backs bent from hard labor. They lusted after food, sex, and even over being endued with the same power Moses had. They were full of lust. And the judgment of God killed 23,000 of them when Moses came down from the mountain and found out what they'd been doing. And later, they tempted God, and a bunch of them were bitten by snakes. That desert was full of snakes, and God had protected them up to that point. And all he had to do was remove his strength and protective power from the Israelites for them to be bitten. Suddenly, a bunch of them were dying all over the place from snake bites. Then he had Moses make a brazen serpent on God's instructions and held it up for the people to look at. That's a type of the cross of Christ, or they all would have died. There's a lot of ways to tempt God, but one of those is blaming him. There's some Christians actually have the presumption to blame God. They say, "God, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. Why did you let this happen? Why did that happen?" Listen, let me tell you something. We're too small to be blaming the God of the universe for anything. Many things happen for which we don't have the answers. And I know that God is a good God, and what he does is always right. And for anyone to stand up and accuse God of anything is foolishness. Some people blame God for things that happened to them as children. God knows best, and he's always right. Folks, I'm ready to be taken home. I'm ready to remain on earth. I'm ready to do anything God wants me to. And I'm not going to quarrel with him. I ain't going to argue with him. I'm not going to find fault with him, no matter what happens. The last sin Paul mentioned of the Israelites was that they murmured. And boy, did they murmur. It's so easy to murmur, to grumble and complain. I've done it. I know y'all done it too. Don't sit down and lie. It's easy to find fault, isn't it? However, no one is perfect. Let's keep our personal feelings washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and keep the important things in mind. And the important thing is to get people saved. We're soldiers in the army of God. We're supposed to go out and fight the devil. We are to take souls for him that he has stolen. And if you ever lose the vision for souls, you're not going to know what you're doing. People who say, what am I doing with my life? What am I supposed to be doing? Are not winning a lot of souls to Jesus. And perhaps you're saying, "I don't know how to win souls." Well, I can tell you how to do that in 2 minutes. Get you a handful of tracts, go house to house, give people a tract, ask if they're born again, and then pray with them. You'd be amazed how many each Christian could win to Jesus that way. And these five sins that Israel committed will keep anybody from walking bold and tall in God and from casting a long shadow of influence in the world. These five sins are going to keep you timid, sidetracked, and wondering what to do with your life. If you want to win souls, avoid these five sins and walk bold. Boldness attracts other people to God. Well, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you next time, God willing.